Hello and welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of March 17th through the 22nd. I'm your host, Cardsy B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I began learning tarot when I was 11 and eventually turned my hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardsy B. So this week, we're headed into the third week of March, halfway through Mercury's retrograde, which ends on Thursday, March 28th. We're also coming up on a full moon on Wednesday the 20th. And this is actually a really cool one because this is the first time that the full moon has occurred on the same day as the spring equinox since 1981. So it's a particularly lucky day. Definitely like pencil in a little ritual for yourself, whether that's, you know, self-care, if you do any work with like, you know, candle magic, tarot spreads for the full moon, Wednesday the 20th is going to be a good day. So heading towards the end of March, we're continuing to utilize March's cards, the moon, challenging us to examine both our higher self, i.e. sexy Britney Spears, and lower self, shaved head Britney, and truly kind of accept both of those in order to align with our most authentic selves and allow the abundance of March's other card, Ten of Pentacles, to flow into our lives as a result. If you want more detailed info on March's cards, you can go back to episode 33 of the podcast for the monthly overview, which just goes a little more in depth. All right, so for the card of the week, so we're working with the moon and Ten of Pentacles still, and then this week, the Chariot. Okay, I like this card. In the original Smith Rider-Waite deck, this is, it shows a warrior inside a chariot, but even though he's the driver, he doesn't have any reins. He's just holding this kind of jazzy pimp cane wand situation that looks like the magician's wand. And the chariot is being pulled by a black sphinx on one side and a white sphinx on the other, and they're almost seeming to go in opposite directions, but the warrior moves straight forward, and it's kind of showing that he's using sheer force of will to drive this chariot. Astrologically, the chariot is ruled by Cancer, and like the crab shell of the Cancer, the chariot protects and shields the driver, and that's kind of what is allowing him to be carried into victory, is that protective vehicle, that shell. And this is the only card that actually features a vehicle as the namesake rather than a person or an element like the sun or the star. And, you know, like I like this card because it's kind of a complex card, and Cancer is complex. You know, like Cancer, the chariot is a hard worker, but often can be very guarded. And in that, it, you know, is often seen as like strong, sometimes tough, sometimes intimidating, but that kind of that guard, that crab shell, has led them to victory. And it's the same with the chariot really driving that warrior into victory in a situation. So in Badass Bitches Tarot, the chariot is Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball. So this week, you're definitely on your way to a well-earned victory. It's probably something you've already put a lot of effort into. And at this point, you may even be feeling impatient. Like it hasn't actualized yet. When is it going to happen? You know you've put a lot of work and energy into it. It's on the way. Don't worry. The important thing to remember about the chariot is that you are the master of your own fate. You've got this. It's on the way in. But try to find that balance of doing the work to get it there, but also allowing it in and not being too reckless or too much of a forcer. I struggle with that aspect. But I like this card because it does mean victory is on the way. This week is March's Ask Cardsy B episode. I've been getting a really good response to this segment now that I've added to once a month. And I've continued to get a lot of great questions, and, you know, either via email or Instagram DM, and some people in person at some of my events this past month. So it was hard, but I narrowed it down to 5 cards that I thought were, relatable to most of the, you know, you guys can all kind of get something from. So, okay, first question was from Claire in San Francisco. I started reading tarot last year, and I'm finally feeling confident about the majority of the card's meanings, but I struggle with reversals. Do you have any tips for learning reversals? Okay, this is an awesome question. I think a lot of us have struggled with reversals at some point, and they can be tricky because they don't mean just the exact opposite of the card upright, which is, you know, that would be easy to learn. Like, you know, the strength card, reverse, doesn't mean weakness. It indicates typically that that there's more strength in you and in your immediate situation than you're able to see at that time. So a lot of them, you know, they do relate to the core and the essence of the card upright, but it's kind of a little bit of a twist on it. I think it's awesome that you've already learned, you know, and memorized and understood 78 cards in a year, Claire. That's freaking amazing. And I think it's cool that you're now expanding upon that and adding reversals to your practice. So I do have a couple of methods that I work with myself and that I teach people that are learning. The first is instinctually, just what do you think, what do you feel when you see that card reverse? Use this kind of that instinct and intuition with the upright meaning to communicate the message to the best of your ability. So for example, seeing the Five of Cups reversed for me, even before, you know, when I was younger and I didn't know all of the reversal meanings, I was like, ooh, that feels good. Because upright, Five of Cups is often referring to lack of perspective, focusing more on lack versus what you have and being grateful and focusing on what others think of a situation. So when I see Five of Cups upside down, reverse, I feel some relief. I'm like, whew, okay. And Five of Cups reverse often means that some work has been done to reprioritize and shift focus from that kind of lack mentality to a place that's more harmonious and more of gratitude. So that's one of the first things I do is just instinctually, when you see a card reverse, how does it make you feel? Like, you know, positive, negative, light, dark, just what are your gut reactions to that and work with that. The second thing I always say that I find helpful is think about the cards right before the card in reversal and the card that follows the card in the reversal. So for example, let's look at Ten of Wands, okay? Ten of Wands upright is a card of success and completion, but it's also the workaholic card. It's a card that's, you know, successful, but it took a lot of work. It looks like work to get there. It's kind of like, you know, makes life look a little bit hard and challenging. When Ten of Wands is reversed, it doesn't mean lazy mofo who doesn't achieve anything. So what does it mean? Let's look at the cards before and after. Nine of Wands preceding Ten of Wands is about the energy of perseverance, of strength, of holding strong in the dark, knowing that the dawn is coming and being able to trust and foresee that often when others can't. So the next card, so then we go into 10, upright, right? And 10 of Wands is now hanging out reversed. So it's not quite moving into the Page of Wands, which is the next card, but we've already moved through the 9, that, you know, that strength energy. So let's look at what Page of Wands is. Page of Wands is the passionate fire, go-go energy, leaping into new potential. And this, now we can use these kind of pieces to put the puzzle together. What's the stage between that strong perseverance of 9 and that fiery, new, exciting opportunity of the Page? 10 of Wands reversed often indicates that spot, the ability to truly receive and enjoy that fiery energy of Page of Wands. It's like she's getting ready to move into that, but she's not quite there yet. But she has really worked through kind of that like struggle workaholic energy and is a little bit more in flow. So that's, you know, that's kind of how I recommend is combining your instinct when you see a reversal along with context clues of the cards that are before that card and the card after. Because if you know all 78 upright, you're like, okay, I know what the card before it means. I know what the card after it means. And those are kind of the biggest indicators for me, as well as the surrounding energies of cards if you're doing a bigger spread. I always say reading tarot is a lot like reading any language. Words that you don't know yet will pop up. And for a lot of people, those are reversed cards, right? And you can use context clues along with your intuition to uncover what that means. And so that's, you know, just a couple of little tips. I hope that's helpful. I could do a lot more on reversals specifically, but without getting too granular, I hope that helps. All right, the second question is from Ray in Washington, D.C. Hi, Cardsy. I've started a reading at a small metaphysical bookshop near me and really enjoy being able to work with so many new people. And I find it's making my readings a lot stronger. But I also often feel extremely exhausted afterwards. Is this normal and does this ever happen to you? Hey, Ray. Yes, that's an excellent question. And I think a lot of readers experience this. I have had both sides of that, where I am totally exhausted and in a bad mood or kind of a blah mood. And then I have to like drag myself to go do readings because I've already committed to an event or I have clients waiting for me. And I actually feel an incredible like burst of energy and feel better after I end up, you know, working with these people, connecting. And I it's funny, it can lift me out of feeling lethargic. But other times, especially after back-to-back-to-back readings, which sounds like if you're working at a bookshop, that could be the case. Even if I have lots of energy to share during the readings and I feel amazing and connected, I kind of feel that I can end up crashing as soon as I get home. After one event, which included literally 6 hours of back-to-back 30-minute readings, I actually came home, somehow managed to feed my dog, and fell asleep in my clothes on the couch at 8:30. And I'm like, those of you who know me, I'm a major night owl. So when that happens, it's just sheer exhaustion. So yes, this does happen, I think, to a lot of us. And I always recommend making sure to give yourself ways to recharge after back-to-back readings, whether that's taking a bath, coming home and like burning some Palo Santo, listening to music you enjoy, or having a conversation with someone that really feeds your energy and you connect with and find connection and healing in. I also recommend creating a little ritual for yourself. I try always, with the exceptions of nights where I pass out in my clothes on the couch, but I try to come home, burn some sage, and shuffle the cards and mix them through the smoke. And that process is really about using the sage to clear and release any energy that came through in the readings that you just completed. And this kind of gives your hands and cards a little refresh, right? I usually do that. I then pack them up in their carrying case and I put them in my drawer for storage until my next reading with the intent that I've cleared that energy. I'm grateful for those readings and now I'm ready, you know, kind of with a clean slate for the next one. I also say definitely listen to your body. If you are starving or exhausted, give your body what it's asking for. When you're in an environment that may have hours of back-to-back clients, make sure you have water with you all the time. Give yourself bathroom breaks because it can be really easy, especially when you are a healer and empath and in that you want to give to people you want to help. Make sure that you're listening to your body and your intuition. And that, you know, that's definitely important too. So I hope that that helps. I also always say that just kind of doing, even if it's internally, I always do kind of a little like prayer to the universe between each reading, and that kind of allows a little reset and recharge, and I think helps to charge your energy. So I hope that those are helpful, and congratulations on kind of expanding your practice, Ray. That sounds very cool. All right. Question number 3. Erica from Nashville writes, I love the moon and tarot rituals that you write for Wonderlust Girls every month. What is the difference between the energy of a new moon versus a full moon, and do you recommend doing rituals for both? Hi, Erica. I actually personally do both, a new moon and a full moon ritual every month. And I always say, just again, work with whatever your intuition guides you to and what resonates with you. Some people prefer the new moon only. Some people do both. Some people feel more strongly connected to the full moon. So here's a little recap and take from this what you will for your own use and ritual. New moons start out at the beginning of the month, and so it's when the moon is in the same sign or constellation as the sun. So, you know, our March new moon last week on Wednesday occurred in Pisces, and, you know, the sun is in Pisces, so that's kind of the new launch to that season. New moons are a great time to utilize a ritual which focuses on what you're manifesting, because the new moon is the beginning of a waxing cycle. And that just means the moon is going to appear more and more illuminated from the new moon until the full moon. And a time working on what you're wanting to bring more into your life is like, that's perfect. If that's what you're focused on, it's really a manifesting moon is the new moon. In terms of tarot, it's a good time to actively seek cards you want to embody or bring the energy of those cards into your life. This past moon, new moon on Wednesday, in Pisces, I chose personally the Eight of Wands, and I took out that card, which represents fast luck, opportunity, good things, you know, coming in, and Ten of Cups for love and abundance. And I laid those out and made a list of what I was inviting in this moon cycle. And I placed my list under a white and green candle and I let those burn overnight. So this is just one example. There are many ways you can work with new moon energy. And as I mentioned, I do write the new moon ritual for wonderlustgirls.com. So you said you're already following that. And I try to incorporate different elements of tarot, candle work, often herbs, crystals. So there are many different elements you can work with, and kind of just whatever you feel called to work with, I definitely encourage. In terms of full moons, on the other side of this, after the moon appears at its fullest, it moves into a waning cycle, or the time when it's getting less and less illuminated. So it looks smaller visually to us. And full moons are a great time to focus on what you want to release and kind of shed from your life. This upcoming Wednesday's full moon on the 20th, which I said also falls on the spring equinox, is a great time to think about what you may be ready to shed, what you want, maybe want to leave behind from this, you know, the year up until this point to enter into the spring season. It's good to give gratitude, even if it's an unpleasant experience, i.e. like a hellacious client or a crazy ex. You can still thank the universe for the lessons and saying, you know, I always say I try to look at things happening for me instead of to me. So even when they suck, even when they're painful, unpleasant, you know, thank the universe for the lessons and the contrast that have now shown you that that's not in alignment anymore. So that's the full moons are a great time to work with this. It's a good time to make releasing lists. If things that you want to release, you can list them out, burn them, tear them up. A great card that embodies this work is Eight of Cups. So that's Demi Lovato in my deck. And that's all about kind of having the strength to walk away from what no longer serves you. I often work with that card and then select cards of energies I'm specifically releasing. So you can kind of pull that and then, you know, cards that resonate with you of things like I've moved through that. I'm ready to kind of shed that. You can pull those out and kind of create your own full moon spread. Snakeskin is also great for full moons. All of my friends make fun of me because I even travel with snakeskin to do releasing rituals. Thank you, Toronto Airport, for still letting me in your country with all the snakeskin that I bring. But snakes shed their skin as a part of natural evolution. And if they didn't shed their skin, it would literally become so constricting and no longer fit that they would suffocate, they wouldn't survive. And I like to look at that because we need to shed energies we've outgrown as well. I often meditate on things I'm ready to release while holding a piece of shedded snake skin. And then after I really kind of like, I'm like, I'm ready to release this. I'm ready to give it back to the universe. Thank you for the lessons it taught me and, you know, help me to release this from my life and move forward. I then try to, where possible, it's harder in Manhattan, although I've been spotted with like using a spoon as a shovel in Madison Square Park. But I then, after my meditation, take the snake skin and bury it and return it to the earth. And that's kind of just a symbol of allowing it to regenerate and become something new and constructive. So those are just a couple of examples. Again, there's a million ways you can work with moon cycles and definitely just, you know, kind of keep practicing and finding what really resonates with you. I always encourage everyone to customize rituals to feel the most in alignment with kind of what you're specifically working with, what you are either manifesting, releasing, kind of celebrating. So I hope that that is helpful and happy new moon coming up on the 20th. Or sorry, full moon coming up on the 20th. Okay, question number 4. Dylan from Connecticut writes, how do you get yourself in the mindset to do a reading if you've had a particularly stressful day or argument right before you need to meet a client? I struggle with this. Okay, that's a great question, and it can be really hard, especially when you have a hectic schedule and you don't necessarily have like a generous time to like calm down, reset, do a 20-minute meditation before a reading. Personally, when I feel rushed or I'm still kind of carrying energies of something that happened earlier, like an annoying, you know, fashion client or someone that was rude to me on the subway, I really try to use the time that I lay out my reading because I work with a reading cloth, chakra stones, and while I'm doing that and while I shuffle, I use that as my kind of meditation time and my time to really like energy shift and set. And during that, that's when I use, you know, I said that I work with a prayer personally, and I ask universe, source, cosmic consciousness, whatever you want to call it, to help me shed my ego and disengage from this realm and to use me to bring healing and clarity to the reading for, and then I say the name of the client. And I do this in my head. It's kind of a little meditation practice that I do to clear and reset. And I do that between each client so that I'm, you know, really trying to connect with their energy and also just opening myself as a channel to, you know, cosmic consciousness, the universe, to say, use me however you see fit to bring healing and clarity. So for me, that helps pull me out of my head and my ego and kind of just, I like literally just check any personal stresses at that moment so that I'm able to be present and available. Because I just need, I'm sure you're a reader, you get this as well. You just need to be able to relay messages without kind of outside noises or clutter. I know other readers who work with different prayers, some who absolutely say they need to burn sage and say their protection prayer out loud. But as always, customize this for what feels right for you and the most aligned for your practice. For me, just the act of setting up my space and shuffling the cards even triggers an energetic shift for me. Like the moment I start shuffling, I feel more grounded, I feel more present. So, you know, whatever works for you to kind of cause that energy shift. And I encourage working with a couple of different ways. You know, it's taken me a while in my practice to find the thing that like gets me there the quickest, in terms of like the prayer that I say, the way that I set up my reading space. But I would play with a couple of different tools and see what kind of pulls you into the presence and into that channel of reading the quickest. All right. So I think we have time for one more question. Alexis from Brooklyn wrote, some people have advised me to never read for free. Others, like Mary Kay Greer, stated on your podcast that she suggested volunteering for free at a fair or day-long event to really push yourself to read for strangers and get comfortable with a fast-paced environment. What are your thoughts on this? Hey, Alexis. Okay, so personally, just for me, this isn't like a universal truth, but personally, I agree with Mary on this one, and I find it really helpful to throw yourself in for little to no pay, as it's a good initiation, and it also takes the pressure off, right? Because if you're like, I'm here for free, or I'm here for very minimal, you're not going to be as hard on yourself when you're starting out. I also believe if you love doing it for free, you truly love it, right? I have done lots of fashion jobs and projects that I would have zero desire to do without the incentive of big money, okay? But when I started reading tarot, it was something I absolutely loved for the sake of doing it, for the sake of connecting with people, with offering them clarity, with offering them a sense of healing. So that being said, I really think the best answer is, what would the Four of Swords or the Hermit card say to you, right? And those cards always remind you, go within. Filter out other people's opinions, including my own, right? And other people's advice and this rule to follow. And just ask yourself what feels right to you, what feels validating and energetically aligned. I still read my best friends for free because I love them and I love that I can offer them a healing tool that they find valuable and they themselves, you know, they don't heal in that way. So it's something that I can offer that's outside of their energetic field. But I also accept and when they offer to buy me dinner or brunch in return. So, you know, that, and that feels good. That feels like, oh, thank you for that. And thank you for like acknowledging this, but I also happily do it for free because I enjoy it. I similarly to what Mary recommended, I started out doing a few events for very little pay to build up my credentials and network. And now personally, that's no longer the case. And it doesn't feel like it's going back to like shedding that, which served you at a time. It just, you know, no longer feels aligned. But it really did at the time. So I think it's good to allow yourself permission to grow and know what feels right now can also shift and evolve as your practice shifts and evolves, you know? Those of you who know me know that I hate having rules imposed on me. And the only rule I always state on this podcast and in my work is to unapologetically be your authentic self. It's the same as when people ask me like, oh, is it okay to buy your own deck? Because some people say that it has to be gifted or it has to find its way to you. And I always say, use whatever deck you most connect with. You know, I have been gifted beautiful decks and appreciated the gesture and reaffirmation that's showing that tarot is supposed to be in my life. But I also Goldilocks style searched high and low for the deck that was just right, never found it, and as a result ended up creating my own. So that's clearly not the path for everybody. You know, not everyone wants to sit for like 6 months and sketch on the floor with their dog to create a tarot deck. But when it comes to tarot, overall, my answer to this question is one of my favorite aspects is that you do get to carve your own path. And the more you work with tarot, the more you strengthen your intuition and making these decisions becomes so much easier and so much clearer and quicker. So, all right, guys, I have a couple more questions that came in, but I want to keep the time of the podcast within the half hour. So thank you for all the questions this month. Please keep them coming. So many of them that I receive, I'm like, oh, like I get asked this multiple times, or I know a lot of people that have struggled with this. I've struggled with this in my past or, you know, needed clarity around it. So please keep the questions coming. They're super helpful. And I know the listeners appreciate it. Before we head out, let me give you the month's recap quickly. This month we have 10 of Pentacles bringing in some serious abundance, the moon, aka Britney Spears, teaching us to love both our higher self and lower self and really kind of celebrate both to embrace our authentic selves. And this week we have the Chariot. So we do have a victory coming in, and it can be something that felt like literally Miley on a wrecking ball, like, oh, I fought, I crashed through the wall for this one. When is it coming? It's on the way. So keep an eye out for that. Don't force it too hard, though. It's on the way into you. Also, don't forget to check out Instagram Live tonight. So every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, tune in because I do an overview of the upcoming week's cards and a chance for you to get your own live mini reading. And those of you who can't tune in, if you're in a totally different time zone, a lot of people that write me the questions, they're in, you know, Asia or Europe and it's not a convenient time for them, you can send your questions through at badassbitchestarot.com or Instagram message me at cardsyb to ensure that I get a chance to do your mini reading. I do take the ones that are written in advance priority and I'll get to those questions first. So keep sending those through if you're not available to make it. And I also have additional events coming up this month. Thank you again to everyone who came out to Om Shanti yesterday. It was amazing and I loved meeting so many of you and getting to sign tarot decks. It was super fun. This coming week, I'll be at Y7's meatpacking location for their manifesto launch Tuesday, March 19th, starting at 7 p.m. Free readings, a lot of cool stuff being hosted by Y7. And I'll be back in Los Angeles for an in-store event and deck signing at Mystic Journey Venice Beach Saturday, May 18th at 1 p.m. So cannot wait to see more of you in LA. I had the best trip last time. I will be traveling with my snakeskin and many other things. As always, if you do have a second, please rate and review this podcast. It helps more people see it when they're searching tarot and metaphysical podcasts and just help spread the word. So if you enjoy it, if you have a sec, please do rate and review. And as always, thank you for listening and stay magical AF.